Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and it is the mock draft show where we got some of the legends of the fantasy community to help us out in doing a bit of a mock draft over the weekend to see what sort of strats and where players are actually going in terms of drafting with the season up and coming just around the corner. And to help us do that is the one and only Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, but I'm going to kick it off with a Strample. Feel like it's been a while since we've had a Strample, and it's just for all the new listeners out there, we try to steer you away from our show, but you somehow tune in to our bag of shit podcast. A Strample is obviously in honour of the great man Shane Strample getting the shit kicked out of him at the behest of legendary coach Robert Walls, who throws any struggling key forward in the ruck and just ordered his team to punch the shit out of him because WorkSafe was not a thing at the time. I will be strampling AFL clubs, all of them. They're all getting strampled, every AFL club. And it's because it's membership number season. It's that time of year where all the clubs are like, oh, we've got 40,000 members. Oh, who gives a fuck? Why is that a good thing? Like, the main benefit of like being a member is going to the games. But do you really want to sit with more of these mouth breathers? Like, honestly, if you go on any like comment section on Twitter that's related to AFL, you are sitting with more of these fucking morons. That can't be a good thing. We need less member. We need to drive down memberships. That's what I'm saying.
And more pet memberships. And then we can just bring our cat or dog along to the game with us.
The whole MCG or Wacker or whatever, just all pets. And we'll sit at home and drink full-strength beer that's nicely chilled or a nice box of wine. And you know, the pets can have a great day out.
Bloody oath. And here's the man all the way from Queensland. It is Cam McLaughlin.
G'day, boys. Membership down? Question mark? Love it. Brilliant.
And he's finally got himself off the nest and decided to join us. It is the man who makes all the vids. It is the one and only Doss. Welcome back, mate.
I'm big! Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
All right, so Doss,
that's it. That's great. Right. What
was
that?
What we got.
And thanks for having us, Doss. We'll see you next time. But no, Doss, you did put this together. It's for the mock draft that we try to do each and every year. You put out the call to the fantasy community, and we got it was a 12-team league. So we had us four plus the Stato, and you've got the other guys in. You got Hef from the Keeper League. Selby, as we know, is from Herrera's Magic, got himself two Hiluxes sitting there in his driveway. Archie from OTLS Sports, MJ from the Coaches Panel, Jeppa from Dream Team Talk, John from Listics AFL, and the great man Warney as well from the Traders. So over the weekend, we just did a slow draft. AFL Fantasy, was what, 5-7-1-5, 4 on the bench, and was the captain's on? I can't remember. Captain's on, so we're just going to break down, probably go through the first three rounds and just talk any of the strats we had, anything we noticed, any patterns, and hopefully it helps you guys going into draft season 2021. Steve, why don't you just go through round one? Have you got round one up there and just go through and what the first round of the draft order was like?
That's put me on the spot there, John.
I'll do it. I'm ready for this moment. Pick one, Brody Grundy. Pick two, Max Gawn. Pick three, Jake Lloyd. At four, we had Lockie Whitfield. Five, Zach Merritt. Six, Lockie Neal. Seven, Clayton Oliver. Eight, Riley O'Brien. Nine, Steele Sidebottom, the first forward there. Taylor Adams at pick 10. Pick 11 was Rory Laird, and pick 12 was Jack McRae, and that was the first round.
Yeah, so the breakdown of the first round was one forward, five mids, three defenders, and three rucks. Probably the big three ruckmen going in the first round. We thought, we knew Grundy and Gawn would be obviously in the top three, but Steve, I want to ask you your Lachie Whitfield pick at number four. What were your thoughts going into the draft on that one?
Yeah, I thought, I hate you, Doss. I don't know how you gave me the shittest spot in the draft. And it's sort of... I shouldn't say it's the shittest spot in the draft because pick three, you could argue, is very similar. But it feels like one, two, and three, Grundy and Gawn, and I don't know if Lloyd... You know, I'm not sure Whitfield's a great pick, but I'm not sure Lloyd's a great pick either. It feels like they could both come back a bit. But a lot of these mids feel very similar. So I was sort of, do I take Whitfield? Do I take side bottom? Do I take my mid of preference? And I don't really have a mid of preference. So I thought I'll take my my number two defender. And when I come back through the rounds 2-3 turn, I'm hoping one of those top six forwards will be there, and I'll just take whatever mid I feel comfortable taking. And it sort of worked out for me. Zorko being, I don't want to spoil the show, but Zorko obviously being there for my third round pick, really nice.
Second round pick.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's sort of like that. It's sort of in that glut of guys. So I got the last of my top tier forwards, and happy days.
Yeah, Dossie, sorry.
Yeah, no, Steve. So, like, since I reckon it's good to point out as well, since you drafted, I reckon more information came out on his liver as well since you hit draft. Do you reckon, has that changed? Like, he's going to miss around a month of training is the last I heard, but, you know, hopefully should be still right for round one. But would that have changed your pick at all, do you reckon?
Yeah, if we were the week before the draft, I'd actually have no problem going Laird there. I think, yeah. Like, now the whole... Like, I know I was cold on Laird at the start of the year, at the start of draft season, but now it's like, yeah, he's training with the mids. That second half of the season in the midfield was banging. There's not a heap of competition there, realistically, when you think about it. I'd have no problem drafting Rory Laird there. But in saying that, like, Neil's not had a great preseason from all reports, but what's the difference between Neil, Merritt, Oliver? Like... Taylor Adams' same hamstring. You know, there's a lot of warts going around in this first round.
Cam, have you got the second round there? Or
Yeah, I'll read that one through. So it was Tom Mitchell at 13, Josh Dunkley at 14, Patrick Dangerfield at 15, Rowan Marshall at 16, Josh Kelly, 17, Dustin Martin, 18, Matt Crouch, 19, Jack Steele, 20, Dane Zorko, 21, Jack Crisp, 22, Tom Stewart, 23, and Toby Green, 24.
Yeah, so five forwards in round two, four mids, two defenders, and one ruck.
Jono, just on that, actually, like, I hadn't seen this before in any draft I've ever done. The amount of key position players that went in the first two rounds was way above normal. I see 15 of the first 24.
Yeah, I think it's with that. I think we'll get to it, but the forwards are just so shit after about, 20, 25?
Yeah.
It just seemed to be everyone was grabbing those or trying to grab one of those top tier forwards, and then it actually left a bit of a gap there. You could actually hold on a mid or even one of those top line defenders as well. So it's interesting. Like, if you're at the back of your draft, you can maybe, if you got back on the turn, you can maybe grab couple of those, one of those top tier forward defenders, and you're still probably going to get a decent mid on the way back in. Like, I think, Steve, you did. You got Treloar in round three, which is an absolute steal. Like, I know he's got the calf injuries at the moment, but that's still a steal if you ask me.
I got to be honest, compared to previous seasons with the sort of limited forwards, whatever, and given what we're doing in this mock draft, I think this mock draft compared to previous mock drafts that we've done in the past couple of years, I have a feeling that this, like, done with the people that we did it, I feel like normal a lot of normal drafts might be completely different to the way ours played out. Like, yeah. I think people are just going to pick mids, like, way early. Like, Listix, John from Listix, he picked McRae at 12, Tom Mitchell at 13. He got McRae and Mitchell. I think in, like, a lot of standard drafts, they're going to be going way earlier. And I think just people are going to be banging mids much more than we did. It's almost like, just the experienced drafters here in this mock draft that we've done have sort of tried to outsmart each other, and then the mids have fallen, kind of thing. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, do you think that's kind of what happened with Selby? So he thought mids would fall a lot earlier, and so he went really heavy on defenders. So his first three picks were defenders.
Four.
Do you think... Four?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's what he was thinking? He was like, well, you know, these guys are probably going to draft mids, and then they're going to realize there's no defenders. And by the time they realize that, I'll swoop in and grab, you know, some of those mids that are sort of in the range of 30 to 40 that are all still pretty good.
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask him. But I look at the defenders he got, and they were all good players. But what I was sort of doing, because I was pick four and he was pick three, and so when you're sort of in those positions, you can control to some degree what's going on. So say in round two, the picks are coming back. I will never, and I've seen, you know, he's chosen a defender, a ruck. You know, you guys have chosen rucks. So I'm never choosing a defender or a ruck coming back in round two. I'm absolutely choosing Zorko, so you guys can't choose it. And the same thing in round four. I will never choose a defender or coming back, because there's like, he's already chosen three. Cam, you've chosen one. I think Hef was the other person on the inside. So I'll never choose a defender. So it makes it easy for me to control the narrative. The interesting thing was that Selby bucked that trend and chose the extra defender. I'm like, oh,
he just doubled down.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, he did do the job. He quadrupled down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't see that move coming. But when there's like sort of like that sexy player or that last tier player coming down, and you know what the small bracket of players behind you have already chosen, and in your case, the rucks, you never have to choose the ruck on the way down. You never have to. You guys went heavy on defenders. You never have to choose the defender on the way down once you've already established that in your team, because it should come back. So picking up the last forward, picking up the last mid, and I think that happened a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Dossie, you went Laird Dunks with your pick. Was that just as a strategy, or what were you doing there?
I think I actually hated it to start with, because I actually did that almost exact combination. I actually might have done the exact same combination, maybe reverse, last year in, I want to say, my home league draft, and it killed me. It absolutely killed me going forward then defender, and it was a simple case of that they were available. Last year, it was like, I think I got Dunkley because we were, you know, I was pretty high on Dunkley, unfortunately, last year. And then Laird just popped up in the second round. I was like, oh, I can't avoid him. Like, I didn't think he'd fall. And then it just hamstrung me the rest of the draft with mids, because like I said, in this home league, people just bang the mids, and I was kind of like really shallow pretty quickly. Whereas in this draft, I was able to get like an awesome midfield. And I think that kind of reflected how I drafted as well. I was really concerned about not getting a midfield, and my midfield's pretty nice at the end of the day, I think. So yeah, it kind of was this time I kind of didn't really want to take Dunkley in the second round, but it kind of started that forward run in the second round. Now, that might have happened regardless of if I picked him there, but if you look at the second round, as soon as I took Dunks, the kind of every, like, it went Dunkley, Dangerfield, Marshall, Dusty was two picks later, and then Zorko was at the tail end of that, tail end of the second round, as along with Toby Green was the last pick. So it's like, I think it just didn't hurt me as much this time, because people are just so desperate to get those forwards.
And just on that desperate point, like, I, you know, shout out to Hef for being a great bloke, but this is a really good example of what I think will happen in a lot of drafts this year. There'll be some panic picks early because it's going to be so unpredictable. And I sort of see Toby Green's gone at the back end of the second round because the forwards were getting so dire. He just wanted to get something on the board. And I think that was a bit of a panic pick.
Possibly. I mean, because I left mine, I think I got my first forward in round 5, maybe 6, and my first forward was Shai Bolton. Like, I've just completely punted the forwards this year, and it reflects it. Like, my forward line is Bolton, Riccardi, Laddams, Allen, and Charlie Dixon. That's just trash.
Yeah, I've seen your team. I've seen your team, Jono, and this was an AFL fantasy draft, not a Supercoach draft. And I do not think you got the memo.
Players I like, I don't care if it's fantasy or Supercoach. I'm just punting forwards. Do not give a shit. And you know, part of my draft strategy was take all the mids, because then that way there's a couple there that might pop. Like, you know, my last pick was Luke Dunstan. If he pops, then I've got a solid midfield there. I can you can actually use that to trade off for maybe a decent forward down the season. But and that's what my strategy was: just take all the mids.
Basically. Do you want to read out your midfield, Jono? It looks pretty strong.
Yeah, I can.
Teams. Well, why don't we do that?
We'll finish the third round, and then we'll go through the teams.
Oh, sounds good. Gee, Steve, read the show, Doc.
No, I can't.
Going back to Dunkley real quick, though, as well, I think I was on the same train as Jono with the punt forwards, but I wanted to get just one away, and I think a few people did the same thing. But my next forward after round 2 was round 10.
Well, I think looking back, I could have maybe, instead of grabbing one of those extra midfielders or defenders, I could have potentially grabbed another solid forward, like maybe like an Isaac Smith or something like that, just to bolster that forward line. Maybe, but give me the mids. But going through round 3, at pick 25 was Jordan Ridley. Pick 26 was Andrew Gaff. Pick 27 was Sam Doherty. Pick 28 was Treloar. Pick 29 was Heaney. Pick 30 was Mills. 31 was Mitch Duncan, 32 was Cornelio, 33 Zach Williams, 34 Lockie Hunter, felt a bit early, maybe, 35 Rocky, and 36 Luke McDonald.
Lockie Hunter feels early?
Pick at round 3?
I reckon Cornelio feels early. Like, I know we all had him high last year, but
Cornelio went above Taranto. That's interesting.
Yeah, you're super hot on Toronto this year.
Yeah, but I still think he'd go before Cornelio in a lot of drafts.
Oh,
still,
that's a good point. Matter. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think Lockie Hunter was a steal at 34. I actually think he's second round material.
Yeah, I was thinking similar. It's more value than too early for mine, just because, like, is his role going to... I mean, you can look at the Dogs and be so scared of the Dogs, and that's probably why he fell, just because of the stacked mid. But his role seems the least likely to change out of anyone there. He's just going to be in the same cushy role, like a little gaff out there, you know what I mean?
That's it. And those sort of wingmen that love to get back and get those chip-in kicks, man, they're going to be so valuable this year. Like, the 45-degree angle from the kick-in is completely open now.
Like, well, they've got the mark, the man on the mark. He can't move, so...
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Yeah. Like, that, you know, he can't move, so the kicks to the side are going to be fruitful for guys like Lockie Hunter, you'd think.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it works. But, all right, we'll run through our teams. Cam, do you want to run us through your team, please?
Yeah, no problem. So my defenders are Tom Stewart, Luke Ryan, Bailey Williams, Isaac Quaynor, and Liam Baker. Midfielders, Andrew Gaff, Scott Pendlebury, Sam Menegola, Trent Dumont, Brandon Parfitt, Jackson Hatley, and Zach Jones. Max Gorn in the ruck. And the forwards are Chad Wingard, Sam Powell Pepper, Cam Rayner, Harry Schoenberg, Paddy Dow. And on the bench, I have Rowbottom, Lockie Young, Callum Brown, and Nakia Cockatoo.
So, Cam, if I look at your team, did you have a set strategy? Or because I look at across the draft, and to me, there's very few balanced teams. Like, you know, you go look at the sort of top 2-3 of each line, and you go, oh, they're good players, and then you're sort of trying to find the value later on. And I look at teams and I go, oh, you're good here and here, but you're shit here. You're good here and here, you're not good here. Yours is one of the few balanced teams, I think, out there. Is it just we play it as it comes and sort of see what happens?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, almost every round, especially for the first like 8 to 10 rounds, I could sort of look at the forwards and look at the defenders and be like, would I be unhappy if I didn't take this exact person there, or is there someone that I can get on the way back that would be similar? And it just, maybe it was the way our draft fell, but it just felt to me like there was always a key forward or a defender available for me in the next round. And so I could just put it off. Like, it just wouldn't impact me at all.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the team and I'm like, the only thing, like, I'd say M3, M4, you probably would prefer stronger players, but you get Max Gawn, so that's the sort of trade-off.
And then, I mean, with the forwards, I kind of banked on Sam Paupepa maybe going, having a pretty good year, and Cam Rayner breaking out, and then I just basically said, well, I'll just waive a Schoenberg and Dow when they're inevitably shit and get someone else.
Yeah. No, it's a good plan. Yeah, I'd say the mids are the weak point, but, I mean, Gaff Pendles, I'm pretty hot on.
Yeah, and I actually think
Pendles is probably I reckon Pendles is amazing value this year.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially even with Taylor Adams is considered to be not too serious an injury, but I mean, he's made of tissue paper. So if any injuries are in there as well and Pendles survives, like, yeah.
But who else is there? And he hasn't fallen. He's not like Selwood. He hasn't fallen away.
Nah.
He's still a fucking jet.
I think the thing for me, like, just on the midfield, I know he's going to probably regress because of increased competition in the midfield. But, man, Zach Jones, I got, like everyone passed over him over and over and over again. Like, Jade Gresham went before him. And I think that's probably pretty criminal, to be honest.
Yeah. That's probably...
You can have Zach Jones, man.
The only thing with Jade Gresham is he probably gets DPP.
Yeah.
But that's... Yep. He's going to torpedo your team for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, at least that slot. He had a good role last year and he was shit.
Yeah.
Steve, do you want to run us through your team?
I would love to as soon as I can find it.
Do you want me to? I'll go through mine.
Oh, no, wait. Here it is. There's a button for my team. So I've got...
Or, you know, I just sent out a Google sheet this morning with everyone's team.
All this increased functionality that they've released this year, the My Team button. Who saw that coming?
Warnie, fix this fucking website, you bastard. Honestly, Warnie, get on it. So in defense,
Steve logged
I've got,
in, he wants everything.
Lockie Whitfield, Jack Scrimshaw, Wayne Miller, Michael Hurley and Ryan Burton. Probably everyone on the inside of me choosing defenders hurt that. So don't really have a good D2, but Scrimshaw and Miller are probably as good a chance of any to get into that range. Through the midfield, Treloar. Lyons is probably my worst pick of the draft. I didn't actually have my rankings up when I was drafting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Lyons is fine. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got him as M30. Then I got Boak, McCluggage, Chera, Setterfield, and Seb Ross. Obviously, the big Proust dog in the ruck, staying on hashtag brand. And probably one of the better forward lines with Zorko, Jack Martin, who I'm pretty keen on. Kane Lambert really fell, as you would expect. Jack Higgins and Matty Taverner late. And on the bench, Goderini, Jackson Nelson, who I think has some upside for West Coast. Handsome Tom, which... Man, that's felt like massive value in Will Brody, who I can't quit.
Handsome Tom will be on the waiver. I can't see him getting back to his good scoring. And again, the key forward decline is real.
Steve Hocking wants the game to be open, Cam, he will open that fucking thing up.
He's going to need 6 goals a game to get 80. You know, like it's...
No, he's not. He'll be fine.
You got a lot of questions in this team, but like I think if most things go right, I actually really like this lineup you've got here, Steve. You seem to always end up with Treloar. It's always like around. Well, I feel like last year you did the same thing. You're like, Treloar is great value, and this year, if he pops again, just playing, if he just is the guy at Western Bulldogs yet again, are you feeling like he's? You like his value, even though it's what? I think you picked him up in the third round?
Well, it was the third round, and this is obviously before the injury news came out, but, I mean, his role should be fine. He should be fine. Like, how bad can it really get for him?
I think...
I would have loved gaff to have fallen to me, but he went two picks earlier. I sort of felt like I had to.
Yeah.
It's fucking Adam Treloar, for Christ's sake. How bad can he be at Dream Team?
I think your back line is the funniest like injury thing I've ever seen. You got Whitfield coming off a lung. Scrimshaw, you know, I don't know, he's just not played enough games. Miller, another injury guy. Hurley, I think's interrupted preseason. And Ryan
just came out
Burton.
Of hospital like 3 days ago.
and Ryan Burton, who we know the history there. So yeah,
well, it's not a real team. Question. It doesn't matter. It's not a real league.
Come on, Steve.
We've also just heard Steve's new boy Jackson Nelson is going to fire up though. Jesus, Jackson Nelson.
No, the Jack Martin pick
is a bench.
That because
it's a fucking bench.
Mate, that's your M2 after week one and the injuries.
Jackson Nelson.
I mean, sorry, D2.
F2.
Scripture. Well, look. I would give Lockie Whitfield my liver, but it might be worse.
No, the Jack Martin pick was probably my favourite pick because by all the reports, he is actually training with the midfield group. We did see
everyone.
The
whole fucking training session is called the midfield group at Carlton.
I think that's every AFL club now because of the rotations. Everyone's running through the mid or resting forward. But we saw him. We thought he was going to play pure mid when he got to Carlton last year, but was predominantly sort of a high half forward roaming player. But
I just love Jack Martin because I think Carlton step up this year, and I think he's the sort of player who makes a good team better.
I agree. I like the pick. Yeah. I'm just saying I like the pick. With my team, starting with the defenders, I've got Callum Mills, Nick Haynes, Brad Sheppen, my boy Nick Vlosten, and Robbie Tarrant. Through the mids, I've got Lachie Neal, Matty Crouch, Christian Petracca, JPK, Prestia, Shuey, and Mark Murphy. Scotty Lysette is my ruck. The forwards are Shai Bolton, Jake Riccardi, Laddams, Oscar Allen, Charlie Dixon, with a bench of Libba, Benny Keys, Dave Mundy, and Luke Dunstan.
It's got to feel good having last year's top average in your team.
And that's the reason I had to pick up. Like, if he pops man for one game, I am sweet.
That forward line is an abomination, Joe.
I'm fine with it. I am fine with it. I believe the rest of my team will carry me to victory every week, bar the forward line, because it is just shit. But as I said, I got all the mids, so I just trade a couple of them, get a couple of good forwards in, and get that balance.
Picking midfielders to trade them. What a winning strategy that's been over the years.
Yeah, because half of them will probably get injured or won't play, and I'll need those midfields eventually to field a team.
I think what I like about the team is that you've got three pretty clear-cut captain options. So if one falls down, you can probably go another. And if you're the kind of league that does your VCC sort of loophole dealy, then, you know, you're looking pretty good there. But, geez, they need to make up for four players that are probably going to hit the waiver in the first couple of weeks in your forward line.
Hey, Laddams, I got the handcuff there. So if one goes down, the other steps up, it's fine.
Or maybe they're both shit.
Whoa. The Laddams season's over for you, Steve. You're now just on the approach.
Well, I'm just saying there's a range of outcomes.
It's a literally a season and I've forgotten
all about
it. You
dumped him quick.
Everyone knows I love Laddams. Everyone knows. Everyone knows a forward ruck is close to my heart. But I don't know. I can't get behind. Like, is Lysette a great pick? Because if he's playing, he's going to be in a split ruck.
So, it's fine.
Apparently, he got dominated in the intra club.
By?
That's the inside word.
By Laddams.
No, Laddams was forward.
Yeah.
Who was the other ruck?
I think it was Marshall, maybe?
He's a potato. He's up there with Kyle Langford. Jesus.
Well, I think Matt Crouch at the back of the second is one of the steals of the draft.
Yeah. I couldn't believe he was there.
I reckon he'll be the M1, to be honest.
Oh, definitely.
I've heard all the talk about Crouch, and he could be the... You guys think maybe he's gone, 110, 115 plus this year. Is that the talk about him?
Yeah.
And I think I put this in the kit. I'm pretty sure I did because I had Adelaide. I just don't see it as much as you guys are talking it up. For starters, we're talking about this this new interchange business. He's a guy that's like never over 75% time on ground his whole career, basically. Just never can stay on the park. We always talk about, is it the tank, whatever. He's a guy that I feel like might actually struggle to get stuck on the bench at times with 75 interchanges. The other thing is like, if everyone is going to so-called pop at Adelaide, is their midfield is going to get more stacked? We've got guys coming in. Is there going to be more rotations? Is he really just going to do everything for them? Or is guys like Haitley, is Sloan going to come back and do better? I think we just replace the Brad Crouch stats with a bunch of four or five different players that are going to get CBAs. I'm just less keen on the... And it could happen. It's in his range of outcomes, Steve. But I just think... it still could be value at the back of the second. I'm just not massive on the huge, like, Matt Crouch love.
But one thing you're missing there, Dossie, is when both the Crouches were there, Brad was the main kicker in that team, whereas forcing Matt to handball, as soon as Brad got injured and was out, that was it. Matty was the main man, and his kicks went up, therefore extra points, and he's going... it will go up.
Like, do they want him to kick, though? Isn't that why they're trying to get, like, Miller and Brody Smith in the midfield? Like, I don't know. I'm just not as...
But his kick-handball ratio went vastly the other way when Brad was out of that team.
I think the thing for me is that just because he had a low TOG before doesn't mean that he'll have it this year. Like, if you flip it the other way, they could try to get more out of him so that it saves an interchange. You know, like stay on the park for an extra 3 minutes so that there's, you know, more interchanges to go around. But I don't know. Maybe I think even if he manages to get that sort of 79% time on ground, he's still going to be 110 because that's what he's done in his career. You know, like 105 for 79%. About right.
Yeah, Neil and Crouch. Very good picks.
All right, Dusty, run us through your team, mate.
All righty. So... in my defense, we have Laird, the early pick. Jordan Dawson, bit of love for him. Check out the kit for my thoughts on him. Jack Lekosius. Damon Greaves, the ranger. Went really late. I think he's very much probably the Mason Redmond of 2021. He's got the 80-plus average next to his name. I remember Mason Redmond had about a three-game sample with an 82 on his name a few years ago. I got excited. I'm just excited, as excited about Greavesy. Lockie Scholl, so... you know, that 22 and under back line, just about. We have in the midfield, Rocky, Tim Taranto, Cripps, Fife, Jared Berry, Heppel, and Brad Hill. That's pretty juicy. Sam Draper in the ruck, and I've got Sean Darcy on the bench just to back him up. But I think Draper's, I love the value on Draper there. I think, you know, he's going to be the main ruck there, and it was pretty juicy very, very late in the draft. I think I was the last one to pick up a ruck, so I did punt the rucks. F1, Dunks, Isaac Rankin, probably my loosest pick of the draft, Josh Battle, Nick Blakey, and Bailey Frisch, which I got very excited about, late in the draft, which...
Bailey what?
Bailey Frisch. Fritch.
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 Okay, I think we got there in the end. There we go.
Yeah. And the bench, T-Mac, my boy Steve, Tom McDonald.
Hey, what?
Whoa. Back it up.
I'm surprised Steve did not pick him up. Isn't he your man there? Had to get some revenge for the Fiorini on your bench there. Sean Darcy, as I said, Charlie Constable and Connor Blakely, just as those guys that could pop but probably won't. But just in case, chucked him in there. What do you guys think?
Good that you got none of your boys. Fantastic.
Yeah. No, well, I'm... The more
I look at you, like I initially looked at your team, Doss, and I went, fuck, this is a great team. And then the more I broke it down, I'm like, nah, this team sucks.
Oh, get fucked. Actually, I got to say, I think I like it. It's one of the rare mocks I've kind of come away with and actually kind of looking at it, I don't mind it. I think I did a couple of loose picks, like Rockcliffe in the third for me just felt wrong. But at the same time, I'm just like, well... like, if things fall right and this is a captain's on league, like, that's a guy I want in my team, obviously. But, yeah, what else sort of stood out for you guys? I'm guessing the back line's probably where I need those Greaves, Lockie Scholl, and Lekosius guys to, like, really take a step up. Even Jordan Dawson, so.
I don't mind it. I worry about Dawson, though. Like, it feels like Sydney have brought in some good back line players, and it feels like Dawson might get a role change.
Yeah, that's the hope. Wing.
Hmm.
He okay, so
He's a good player, man. I actually like your team, Doss. It's just, you know.
I like your midfield, especially where you're drafting there at, what, pick 11? First three picks were Laird, Dunks, and Rockcliffe, and you're still able to manage to pick up Fife, Cripps, and Taranto there. So I thought you've done well there to get a pretty solid base of your midfield there.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think one other thing I look to do at, and this could be just totally off, it's one of these strategies that I've been going with those later picks, is picking dudes that have massive tanks with this interchange thing. Now, it could just have absolutely minimal impact, but like Brad Hill, I thought was pretty big value like late in the draft. We've already heard his teammates going on about how this is going to help him this year. He had a nice end to the season last year as well, and I think the quarters going up is going to help him. A guy like Josh Battle, maybe, because he can run, his running's pretty good, and Jared Berry, who just smashes 3K time trials. Like, I kind of pick up guys that I think may benefit from those rules as well, sort of later in the draft. Yeah, and Isaac Rankin's a weird one, but
yeah, I pick guys with huge tanks. Isaac Rankin.
Well, Jared Berry, one of the few players to slide on TOG last year. Jared Berry.
Isaac Rankin came top five in the 2K time trial.
Fucking
the other
2K
day,
time trial isn't exactly a long run, Doss.
I may have read that article when I did
it. It is for me, so. Steve. Jesus Christ.
Playing some more midtime. Hashtag more midtime Isaac Rankin.
Yeah. The only, like, obviously the Rucks, you know, piece of string is tying that together, but. Bailey Fritsch, I'm fair bit of concern with his role at Melbourne with the two big guns going down. I think he could just end up sitting forward rather than getting that sort of lush, like, wing role.
Hey, you forget about the twin tower of T-Mac. Mitch Brown is still in that team.
No, Mitch. Oh, no, that was Ben Brown that went down. The superior Brown.
He's still in that team.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I also read an article that Bailey Frisch and T-Mac were switching on the wing. So I'm like, well, if one pops, I've got both. So one of them will be starting on the field.
Yeah. It's not a bad team.
I like Frisch. He's a quality player, but he doesn't strike me as a fantasy player.
And the Fife pick was also, like, you know, a bit of cheeky potential DPP as well, given how weak the forwards are. That was, I mean, I wanted him. I probably would have picked him at that point anyway because the mids were sort of at that point. But I kind of like that pick as well as, you know, what if you get a top six forward? But, you know, it's all speculation at this point and you got to wait six rounds or whatever to get it. But that was kind of the Fife pick as well to back in with Cripps. Also, I did like getting Cripps and Fife with the Rocky risk because at least you know you're kind of getting close to that 100 if the Rocky pick kind of fails. So,
well, the only problem is those guys get tagged all the time. Like Cripps and Fife, yeah, they're the number one tag targets every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. They tend to average close to 100 every year, though, and pop it up. So, I don't know. At least I know they're going to play every week and they're going to
well. You're saying that Fife is going to play every week?
Well, you know, Rocky, maybe not.
Tim Tirano, who just came off his busted shoulder. No, he's fine. Wasn't it you who was, like, down on Rocky, on Tirano because of the shoulder thing? Or was that Cam?
No.
Yeah, it was me.
Not
me. It
was Cam. I like Taranto. Gun.
Is there anything else you noticed in the draft? Any other interesting picks that you want to call out while we have the floor here?
Or who do you reckon won? Like, if there was a winner.
If there was a winner?
Yeah. Whose team do you like the best?
I want to talk about my boy Johnny. Johnny from Listix. I thought he carved the draft. I don't know what you guys thought. I'd love
with Jeremy Cameron and Zeebel, Franklin, Robbie Gray and Campbell in his forward line.
Braden Campbell, yeah.
Jono, don't you be talking about other people's forward line, Jono. Jesus Christ.
I think that's sort of what I mean. It was so easy to miss a line in a 12-team league with forwards like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the forward lines.
I like Steven Stato's probably the best.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, anyone listening, I'll put an article up on thedraftdoctors.com.au so we'll have all the picks up there so we're not just talking about them. You can refer to them. Hopefully I'll drop it the same day as the pod as well. So,
and you need to put Hess' last pick in. I don't know what his last pick was.
Actually, and we've done a few drafts with this gentleman in the past, but I didn't think... I thought this was the best draft I've been in with Warnie that he's done. I thought Warnie had a pretty solid team. It felt balanced and it didn't feel like there was too many misses.
Yeah, it's pretty balanced when just going over it now. Hooley, Duggan, DBJ, Dode, coming in his back line. Taylor Adams, Lockie Hunt.
Coming in his back line. Come on, man. Come on.
Well, it's true. Coming in his back line.
That'll get you arrested in Tasmania. Come on.
You know, I do recall, though, last year's draft, and maybe the year before as well, we did it slightly earlier, I want to say, and it was around that Triple J Hottest 100. I think Warnie, during the draft, admitted he'd had a few bevs last time, and maybe that's why his performance here was slightly better.
Yeah. Lucky Hunter, Ollie Wines, O'Meara, the superior Kerno, Hanbury and Pollock rounds out his midfield. Nick Natanui's his ruckman. I like his forward lines. Dangerfield, Phillips, Langford, Ainsworth, Hall with Stanley, Redden, Darcy Mack and Fantasia on the bench. So it's a pretty well-rounded team.
Feels like that team's going to make finals in leagues.
You would think so. You would think so. We actually did get a question from the Instagram this week.
Instagram?
From the Gram. Patrick Harmer, he asked, sorry, a bit of a strange one. He's a big fan of the show, and he wants to learn more about punting your position. Do you punt a position if you think there are lots of cheap guys there later, or because it's just crap in general? I want to leave the backs this year because I think there's lots of value there, but I like the top end backs. I like the top end in the forwards. Don't see anything in the mid to low range, just trying to figure out the best strategy. With that, I'd just say, look, grab maybe one or two of those top defenders, and then you can find that value a little bit later on. And then if you want to grab all the forwards, just go for it and grab all the forwards that to your heart's content. What do you think, guys?
I'd probably say if you miss out on the top five defenders in the first couple of rounds, you can probably just wait until sort of midway through the draft. I found that there were people sort of averaging anywhere between sort of 78 and 82 midway through three quarters of the way through our draft in the defense line. So I just kept on leaving it. It's just, that to me ended up being my punt line.
That sort of happened to me as well, Cam, is people just kept taking defenders around me. So I was like, whatever.
And there was so much opportunity in other lines because of that, right?
Yeah, there was. And I felt like my forward line probably ended up as my strength because of that. But I would never head into a draft saying I'm going to punt something. Like, we've talked about on the show, ha, 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 let's punt forwards this year or punt mids or whatever it is. But I would never head into a draft thinking that because, it's fun to do mock drafts and play around on the simulator and blah, blah, blah. But what we've seen today is completely different to what we've seen on the simulator. The ADPs on the AFL Fantasy website, they're miles off what we've seen on the on our draft site. And I guarantee we've got a lot more drafts in the bank on our site. AFL Fantasy will end up with more. Don't get me wrong, but theirs only just came out and ours has been around for a month. So I think you just got to sort of take it as it comes. And just because someone's listed with, say, an ADP of 60, it just takes one person in your draft to grab them at 30. That's what draft is. It's not salary cap. You can't predict it. You have 87 tins before the draft. You might do strange things.
And I've seen that live many a time.
Never seen it, Trono. Never seen it.
Are you coming to the live draft, or are we going to have that
on Skype this year?
Dialed in?
We got dialed a kid in. Coming in like 5 minutes.
No, it's still got to ask the question, because we'll just see sheets of paper going up on the big screen.
I'm turning
halfway through the
draft. I'm turning the Fizz Cave into Draft HQ.
Nice. I like it. Anything else, boys? How do you stack your burgers there, Doss? We're having the chat in the other day.
I thought MJ drafted pretty well as well, actually.
Yeah.
I'll go through his team quickly. It's Salem, Newman, Hartlett, May, McAvoy, who could, is a D5, he could pop.
He could be anything.
Kelly, Canelio, Walsh, Rowell, Andy, Goatshaw, Dacos, Bailey Smith, ROB in the ruck, Degoe Lynch, that's good personality, Tom, Liam Ryan, Austin Elliott, Taron Thomas, and then Sheed, Trent Rivers, who I'm a big fan of Trent Rivers. I think he's, it's hard to see the breakout, but I really like him. D Swallow and Bewley. I mean, that is a solid team. If Dave Swallow picks up forward status again, holy shit.
Was MJ, I think it went off in the group chat a little bit when he picked ROB at pick 8. Did you guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, man, it's an interesting pick, isn't it? To me, he feels closer to the top two than he does to the next rung.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He's the... You got Gorn and Grundy, they're the number... We'll say they're the number one ruckman. ROB feels like a 1.65 or 1.5. He's just right there.
Do you see a world where if he's fit and the other two are fit, that he outscores one of them? Is that possible?
I think he can get Grundy. He can get Grundy. I don't think he can get Max.
I can't see it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as athletic as the others. And he just, yeah, I don't see it. And he also probably has a lower floor, which is the main reason why he probably doesn't. Yeah, sure. Doesn't get it. I actually think MJ has the best team.
Yeah.
I look at it and it's just so strong in the midfield. Ruck is fantastic. You know, Stephen May was really serviceable last year. He's probably going to be taking the kickouts again at Melbourne. Should be pretty good. You know, he's got a weak-ish forward line with Liam Ryan, Hoskin Elliott and Taron Thomas, but you just get stuff off the waiver or trade Sheed and Swallow. But
Liam Ryan was solid last year. Like, he had a... like 5-6 weeks towards the end of the year, he's just pumping out 80s and 90s.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the thing, something that you could bank on, right? Like, I'd feel more comfortable having him as an F5 than an F3. But otherwise, I reckon he's got, like, he's probably got the best midfield out of the entire league.
Potentially.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
Potentially.
It's a bit of a fence sit, Steve.
Can we, if you look at an AFL draft review from like 10 years ago, you see how stupid they look before the season's happened. Can we talk about Selby's team?
Go for it.
Defender, defender, defender madness. I can't fault the picks, but man, has it made the rest of the team look...
My problem with this strat, right, is...
Wait, did we talk... I think we talked off-air about his picks, but it was, what, 4 defenders in a row to start the draft?
Yeah,
just to give context.
I think it was Lloyd, Crisp, Doherty and Maynard were the 4 for his first 4 picks. And the problem I have with this is, in a captain's on league, it's probably not as viable. He's got Lloyd and then massive... gap, right, to the next biggest scorer. His M1 is Jed Anderson. His M2 is Andy McGrath. Like, it's pretty thin. Sure, he's got some good picks in there. Like, he's got a lot of guys that could jump to the next level with Jai Simkin, Caleb Sarong, Darcy Parrish even. But then you look at his forwards and it's also still kind of shit. He's sacrificed 2 lines
He's first midfielder at pick 70. Jed Anderson. Pick 70. He took English before a midfielder.
I love English, but...
yeah.
It was a bold strategy.
It was different. Like, I mean, it's cool to see it, to be honest, but...
It obviously, yeah, it severely hampers you across the rest of your team.
I'd love to see. More than any other team, I'd love to see how this team played out over a year.
Yeah.
And we will get that opportunity with the when we play it this year.
I'm not playing this shit. This is a mock draft. Fuck off, Johnny, you fucking asshole. You must... are you just going to export this team over to our Supercoach League?
Yes, I will. But what should a spoil be worth, Doss? That's been the debate the Trader Boys have been having. I think 3 points.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
That's a key position, man, right there. That is a man who grew up in the back. He's a man who grew up in the back lines.
Yes, I was.
Jeez.
Don't get enough love.
Harris Andrews, D1.
If a spoil's worth 3 points, a goal needs to be worth at least 69.
I'm down with that. Let's just blow it up.
I'm sure people are going to mess around. I do like the fact you can mess around with it, but there's going to be a nice... Somebody's going to find the right balance and we'll find it out and everyone will be doing it. You do have to reward these guys. Like, it would be nice for those guys to be slightly more valuable, but not weirdly valuable.
But if you're doing that, then don't you then dilute the players even, like the player pool even more? Like, obviously you've got to have some players that are unrosterable, and unfortunately the key positions... You can't have everyone scoring hundreds, basically.
It's kind of a known factor in AFL fantasy. You know what sort of player is a good fantasy player versus what sort of player is a good player.
This is the problem I have with AFL fantasy, is they'll trot out lines like that bullshit, but then like the salary cap keeps going up every year and they're like, oh, well, the AFL one does. Well, we have to. You know, there should just be a key position spot in each line. Like, you have to have a key position.
Like, instead of utility, it's like...
Instead of just five forwards, you have four forwards and one key position forward. Four defenders, one key position defender. What's so hard about that?
What if in just that position you get the points too? So it's like you put Harris Andrews in your one key position spot and spoils are worth two or three for that position.
But that's maybe what something like the utility's for.
Well, you just have a goals-only league, and whoever's a defender who's playing forward that year, you know, racks it up.
Josh Battle.
Boom.
D1.
But he doesn't play or do anything.
Ooh. Oh, come on, man.
Love it. Love it. All right. That is going to wrap up the show for this week. Be sure to check out the draft kit. You can check that out on thedraftdoctors.com.au and the mock site as well, which is mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Please give us money. Steve is having a baby and would really appreciate it.
Also, I need to send back my shoes that I just bought because they're a bit too small.
Don't they send like a free refund?
Yeah, but I'll have to pay the shipping probably.
Generally, they sometimes a lot of them don't. Mm. But
we'll see. I've never ordered off City Beach before. But I finally got a pair of DCs 23 years after I stopped skateboarding.
DCs?
I was waiting for him to say, I got some sick globes.
I had globes. I did have globes back in the day.
Of course he did.
And Top Shot pack dropping tonight.
Oh, no, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m, the Cool Cats.
7 a.m.
Oh.
Yes.
Alexei Pokushevsky, I'm telling you, he's my Paddy Dow.
I bought one of your Michael Bookers and I've fucking lost money on it, Doss, you jerk.
Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, you got to wait. It's a long game. This is stonk, Steve. You've got to wait, son.
Son.
He's sunned me. He's sunned me. You're fucking out.
On that note, fuck off. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.